All right, so diving right in today, we've got a case that really hits at something pretty fundamental: fairness at work, especially when we're talking about unions.
You got it.
It's Tunstall v. Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen and Enginemen, back in 1944.
Yeah.
You guys sent in some really thoughtful stuff on this one, and honestly, you weren't kidding about how important this ruling was. I mean, it's a big deal for labor law, obviously,
Definitely, yeah.
but also for the fight against discrimination in
Well,
general.
absolutely, yeah.
So we're going to break it down, like really get into why this case still matters so much today.
I think that's a great idea because a lot of people don't really fully understand how this idea of fair representation like really came to be, and Tunstall is where we see it in action. Especially, I think, for unions that are under the Railway Labor Act. It's kind of amazing to see like the Supreme Court basically saying, okay, so you unions, you get all this power to represent everyone, right? Well, guess what? That means you have to represent everyone fairly, regardless of race,
No matter what.
no matter what. And that's a really powerful, I think, use of an implied legal obligation.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. Who was Tom Tunstall?
Sure.
What happened that landed this whole thing in front of the highest court in the country?
Right, so Tom Tunstall was a black locomotive fireman. He worked for the Norfolk and Southern Railway. So we're talking trains.
Got it.
Now, the Brotherhood of Locomotive Firemen and Enginemen, mouthful, but we'll just say the Brotherhood, they were the big union for firemen. And because of the Railway Labor Act, they had like the sole power to bargain for these guys. Tunstall's whole beef was that this brotherhood was making deals that were straight up bad for black firemen like him.
So you're saying they had this power, and instead of using it to help everyone, they're using it to have one group at the expense of another,
Yeah.
based on race.
Pretty much, yeah.
So what did that look like, practically speaking? What were these contracts actually doing?
Well, Tunstall was saying the union was negotiating these agreements that messed with seniority for black firemen, like really undermined it. They were getting stuck with the worst jobs, the harder, dirtier work, often with schedules all over the place, mostly in the yards. And meanwhile, you'd have white firemen with way less experience being handed these cushy jobs, the ones with good pay and stable schedules, you know, running the interstate passenger trains. And those were the very jobs those black firemen used to hold.
So a clear pattern of discrimination, basically, woven right into these union contracts.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Okay, so Tunstall, I'm guessing he didn't just sit back and take this.
Oh, no, not at all. He raised a stink for sure. Went straight to the union leaders, complained to the railway company too. But well, based on what we see in the records, they both kind of blew him off. Like he tried to use the system, file grievances and all that, but it was a dead end. He felt completely trapped.
So he turned to the courts, right?
Mm.
Sued them,
Cades, yeah.
but it didn't go his way at first.
Right. So he starts in the district court, and right out of the gate, they dismiss it. Say they don't have federal jurisdiction over this kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, their thinking was that Tunstall's claims weren't like directly covered by an existing federal law. And then, to make matters worse, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals upholds that decision. Basically, they're saying, look, this is maybe a contract issue or something for state courts, but it's not for us.
I know, it seems a little strange to me. You've got this huge union operating under a federal act, and it's not a federal matter.
Yeah, it does seem a little counterintuitive.
So what changed when it got to the Supreme Court? Like, what arguments got their attention? What were they really wrestling with in this case?
Well, the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Stone was in charge at the time. They just flat out disagreed with the lower courts. They focused on two big questions. First, did the Railway Labor Act, even though it doesn't explicitly say it, did it actually create an obligation for unions to be fair to all the workers they were representing? And second, if that duty existed, did it give federal courts the power to step in and hear cases where someone claimed that duty was broken?
And the Supreme Court said yes to both, right?
Exactly. They said yes to both.
Okay, so let's unpack that first part. How did they find this duty of fair representation hidden inside the Railway Labor Act?
Yeah.
It wasn't written down anywhere.
Right. And this is where their interpretation of the law gets really interesting.
Okay.
They basically said the duty of fair representation wasn't spelled out, but it had to be there for the Railway Labor Act to work the way it was supposed to. The act was meant to bring stability to the railway industry and, really importantly, to protect the rights of workers by letting them bargain as a group through their unions.
Right.
The court's logic was that if a union with all this power to bargain for everyone could then turn around and discriminate against some of those workers based on race, the whole point of the act would just crumble.
Yeah, it would be completely undermined.
Exactly, because then those minority workers would have zero real ways to protect their interests. The whole system of collective bargaining that the RLA set up, it would just fail them.
So the union, they got this special power, this exclusive right to bargain, but that came with a built-in, unwritten responsibility to use that power fairly.
Exactly. It wasn't just a privilege, it was a duty.
Wow.
The court was basically like, hey, you can't use this power to hurt people unfairly. It's a basic fairness rule. And they saw it as being like woven into the very structure of the RLA. Mm-hmm. Chief Justice Stone was really clear about this. He said that letting unions shut out minority workers from the benefits that come with collective bargaining, that would completely defeat the whole purpose of the law. It's like you give someone a ton of power, it's understood that they won't use it to cause harm.
Right. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So what about that whole jurisdiction issue? How did the Supreme Court figure out that a case like Tunstall's dealing with this implied duty was something a federal court could even decide on?
Well, the Supreme Court's reasoning was that when a union doesn't represent its members fairly and they're operating under the Railway Labor Act, that's basically them breaking a rule made by federal law. And that means any lawsuit trying to deal with that violation, well, that lawsuit arises under federal law. It's a federal question. They specifically mentioned 28 U.S.C. section 41(8).
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what you sent me didn't get into the nitty-gritty of that specific statute.
Right.
But it's basically a general rule that gives federal courts jurisdiction over cases that deal with laws about commerce. And since the Railway Labor Act is definitely a law about commerce, well, the court concluded that Tunstall's claim fit right under federal jurisdiction.
So the union messing up its duty under a federal law, even if it wasn't a directly written rule, was enough to get the case into federal court.
Right.
They didn't need things like, you know, the people involved being from different states, the usual stuff for federal jurisdiction.
Exactly.
That's a big change.
It was huge. I mean, before Tunstall, if you were a worker and your union was discriminating against you, your options were super limited, maybe even non-existent. But this decision blew open the doors to federal court. It gave workers a direct path to fight back against this kind of discrimination based on this new implied duty. It was a big check on union power and gave a lot of protection to minority workers who might have had nowhere else to turn.
Now, we can't forget about Justice Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a concurring opinion, right? What was his take? Did he agree with the majority of the justices, or did he see things a little differently?
So Justice Murphy, yeah, he was totally on board with the main idea that the Railway Labor Act created this duty of fair representation and that federal courts had the power to deal with it. But he went a little further. He really did. He didn't think non-discrimination was just like implied by the RLA. He thought it was at the very heart of why the act existed in the first place.
Wow.
And because he felt so strongly about that, he wanted the courts to have and to use stronger tools to actually stop unions from discriminating in the future. Like, he specifically talked about injunctions,
okay,
which are like court orders that force unions to knock it off with the discriminatory stuff.
Right.
And he even brought up the idea of giving money to people who were hurt by unfair representation, you know, to compensate them.
So the majority opinion was like, okay, this duty exists and federal courts can handle it.
Yeah.
But Justice Murphy was already thinking about how to make that duty really mean something, how to make sure workers who were discriminated against could actually get some real help.
You got it.
He wanted to do more than just acknowledge the problem. He wanted to solve it.
Exactly. He was worried that just saying, hey, this duty exists wouldn't be enough. He wanted to make sure there were real consequences for unions, you know, like if you discriminate, you're going to get hit hard.
Hmm.
That was his thinking.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's bottom line this. What does this duty of fair representation, this thing that came out of Tunstall, what does it actually require unions to do?
Well, in a nutshell, the duty of fair representation means unions got to represent everyone in their bargaining unit fairly without playing favorites. And that means no matter their race, ethnicity, gender, anything like that, it's got to be fair, impartial, and in good faith.
Okay.
What does that mean in practice? They can't do anything hostile or discriminatory towards certain members.
Yeah.
Their actions can't be random or unreasonable, and they have to be honest and impartial when they're representing everyone's interests. This goes for both negotiating contracts and enforcing them afterward.
Okay.
So, for example, they can't negotiate a contract that obviously screws over one group of members based on something like race, and they have to represent all members equally when it comes to grievances or problems that come up under the contract.
Gotcha. And you mentioned earlier that Tunstall wasn't the only big case dealing with this around that time.
Mm-hmm.
How does it tie in with that Steele v. Louisville and Nashville Railroad decision? They came out the same year, right?
Yes, they did. They both came out in 1944. Tunstall and Steele, they're like the dynamic duo of fair representation cases under the Railway Labor Act.
Okay.
Tunstall was all about whether federal courts could even touch these cases where a union was accused of racial discrimination.
Right, right.
But Steele dealt directly with a union that had made a contract that was openly discriminatory against black workers.
Right.
And the Supreme Court and Steele said, nope. That contract is no good.
Yeah.
So together, these two cases made it crystal clear. Unions under the RLA have a legal duty to represent all their members fairly and without racial discrimination, and they gave workers a way to fight back if that duty is broken.
Yeah. And the fact that federal courts could now hear these cases directly, like workers could sue their unions in federal court for violating this duty,
yeah,
that seems like a massive power shift.
Oh, absolutely. It was a game changer. Before Tunstall, like we were saying, workers who were facing discrimination from their own unions, they were kind of stuck. But this ruling created a clear path for them to get justice in a system that's specifically designed to deal with federal law. It made unions accountable, and it protected minority workers in a way they hadn't been before.
So looking back at Tunstall now, why should law students, legal scholars, anyone interested in how law and social justice intersect, why should they care about this case? What makes it so important all these years later?
Well, Tunstall is still super relevant for a few key reasons. First, it's a great example of how courts can interpret laws in a way that makes sense with their overall goals and principles, even if those principles aren't written down word for word in the law itself.
Right, right.
Like this whole idea of a duty of fair representation, that wasn't spelled out, but the court said it had to be there for the law to really work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a classic example of dynamic statutory interpretation. Second, Tunstall shows how powerful the law can be in stopping discrimination, especially when it comes to jobs and unions.
Yeah.
It was a major victory for civil rights because it recognized how vulnerable minority workers can be in union settings, and it gave them legal protection against being treated unfairly by the very people who are supposed to be representing them.
And this whole idea of fair representation that came out of Tunstall, mm-hmm, it didn't just stay in the railway industry, right? It had a much wider impact.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The duty of fair representation, the way it was laid out in Tunstall and Steele, it went on to influence how other federal labor laws were understood and used, especially the National Labor Relations Act, the NLRA.
Yeah, the NLRA.
Which covers way more industries than just railroads and airlines.
Right.
Those basic ideas from Tunstall about a union's obligation to be fair to everyone, they became a core part of American labor law in general. And Tunstall even provided like a roadmap for future civil rights lawsuits that were trying to fight systemic discrimination in all sorts of situations. So its impact went way beyond just that one case.
Okay, so let's do a quick recap of the key takeaways from our deep dive into Tunstall. The Supreme Court looked at the Railway Labor Act and said that even though it didn't specifically say unions couldn't discriminate, that idea was baked into the purpose of the act.
Right.
Especially when it came to racial discrimination. This duty of fair representation was meant to protect all workers under a union contract, making sure that minorities wouldn't be left defenseless against discrimination.
Right.
And really importantly, the court said that federal courts have the power to hear these types of cases. Because if a union fails to represent its members fairly under a federal law, that's a federal question, which means federal courts can step in. And lastly, the case really highlighted how much harm can be done when unions discriminate. It's not just a theoretical thing. It has real-world consequences for people's lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's important to remember that Tunstall, along with Steele, they really solidified this idea of the duty of fair representation as a cornerstone of American labor law. They've had a huge impact on countless cases since then, shaping how unions operate and how workers are protected from discrimination even today.
This has been a super insightful look at a truly landmark case. It's amazing how a Supreme Court decision from way back in 1944 is still shaping our understanding of labor rights and civil rights in the 21st century.
Totally. It makes you think, right?
Yeah.
How does this idea of fair representation, this thing that Tunstall made so clear, how does it affect the responsibilities of unions and the rights of individual workers today? Especially when you consider how much labor law has changed and grown since the 1940s, beyond just the Railway Labor Act.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating question, something worth exploring more.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And keep those case suggestions coming. Until next time.
See you then.